Good morning. This is Christine Marie Mulholland coming to you from Murfreesboro, Tennessee. This morning I wanted to talk to you about light versus darkness. I've titled this program, The Light That Swallows Up Darkness. Dear Lord, I pray that you open the hearts of the people to receive this teaching and for it to sink down into their hearts and minds so that it can be developed into their personality. We thank you for the life you have given us. We have been brought out of the darkness and have stepped into the glorious light of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible has a lot to say about light. Light swallows up the darkness. We know that this is true when we step into a room, flip the switch, and the light overtakes the darkness, and then we can see. So too, when we let our light shine before men, there is no room for darkness in us, or at least that's how it should work. Not all of us are letting our light shine before men. In John 1, 4, and 5, it speaks of Jesus being light. And it says in the Amplified Bible, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines on the darkness, for the darkness has never overpowered it, put it out or absorbed it, and it is unreceptive to it." Jesus has declared that he is the light of the world. We find the scripture in John 8, 12, where Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not be walking in the dark, but will have the light which is life." In 2 Corinthians 4, 4 it says, "The God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Satan is the god of this age. He is the arch enemy of God and the unseen power behind all unbelief and godlessness, who will follow him and have effect made them their god. The devil has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. Paul continues to use this imagery of the veil that covers the divine glory so that those who reject the gospel fail to see that glory. If you are blind, then you are in darkness. And the Bible here is speaking of a spiritual darkness. There's a stark contrast between the light and the darkness, and it is a striking theme of the Bible. If the Bible speaks of light as Jesus, who illuminates the world, then for our purposes, we can define darkness as both Satan and those of the world who do not know God and have no fellowship with him. We have all heard Jesus' teaching on the light. In Matthew 5, 14 through 16, he says that he is the light of the world. Jesus has commissioned his followers to take up where he left off, to carry on his work and bringing the light into the world. We are told to let our light shine before men. We are to become a spiritual illumination to the darkness of this world. Let's read Matthew 5, 14 and 16, where Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." In verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." This scripture is telling us that we let our light shine by our good deeds. Our good deeds should be done not to show ourselves as righteous, but to show them the God and they can give him the glory. But what are some of the ways that we can let our light shine? I used to think that it was going around preaching to people. I even had someone say to me one time that I was a Bible thumper, which that doesn't necessarily mean is a bad thing. But of course we should be radically in love with the Word of God, but we do not always need to take the approach of pushing Scripture onto someone. I know from experience that this is not always the most effective way to share God's truth to men. Teaching God's words is extremely important and is necessary, but before we can teach someone the Bible, first we have to reach their hearts. And we want to soften their hearts so that they can be receptive to the Word of God and the Scriptures that will bring restitution to their lives. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. How in practical ways we can let our light shine before men. We don't want to just tell them about God. We have to show them our light. How? Is this hard? It sounds so spiritual to say, let your light shine. But letting our light shine is not a difficult thing, really. We shouldn't have to overanalyze it. Let's talk about some simple things that we can do that will make people want and thirst for what we have in God. We want those around us to sit up and take notice that we are different, that there's something special about us. How often do you smile at people? You know, just the smile says so much. Smiling relaxes people and makes them feel receptive to what we have to say. It makes them feel comfortable to be around you, and it makes them feel accepted and safe. I suggest that you smile as often as you can. And that's not hard. All of us can do that. We can also encourage as many people as we can each day. We can compliment others. If you're walking by someone and you like their outfit, open your mouth and tell them. You know, you look very nice today. That's a nice outfit on you. That's easy enough. Everybody can do that. And people appreciate being complimented, and it makes them feel good. Be a person of excellence. When you're at work, be on time. Work hard. Go above and beyond what you are asked to do. Get to work early enough so that you can say good morning to everyone, get your coffee, and then be ready to work by the time your shift starts. We don't want to rush in 2 minutes late and then spend the next half hour chatting, not sitting down and work until a half hour into our shift. Remember, people are watching us closely, and we are making an impression on them whether it is good or bad. Titus 2:8 says that we should be an example by doing what is good, so that we cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose us may not be ashamed, those who oppose us may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. People are going to be critical of you and even at times make up lies about you, but we should never give them a legitimate reason to talk bad about us. Another way we can let our light shine is to speak positively. Don't complain all the time. Don't complain about yourself, about others, about your situation. Don't put down your boss behind his back or even your spouse or your children. We want to stay as positive as we can. We don't want to have a bad attitude. When we have a good attitude, we are letting our light shine before men. We want to be a reasonable person. We want to be loving even to the unloving. You know, I had something happen to me right after I had finally just gone back to work after the children had been home for with me. And one of the things on my job was I had to relieve the receptionist for her breaks. She had a 15-minute break in the morning, an hour lunch, and then another 15-minute break. And three times a day I had to approach her. And every time I would go up to her, I'd say, good morning, how are you? She wouldn't answer me. And if she did answer me, it was like, fine. She didn't want to talk to me. She wouldn't look at me. And this went on for a long time, three times a day. She would do that to me. And I got so frustrated that eventually I spoke to my husband about it. And he told me, well, just ignore her back. Just do it to her, too. And I talked to my best friend. She said the same thing. Just don't talk to her. Do the same thing she's doing to you. Well, I did that. And it took about a week for me to understand that that was, first of all, it wasn't working. Second of all, I felt bad inside. I felt convicted from the Holy Spirit that I wasn't behaving correctly. So I decided I was just going to go back to my happy self, and I was just going to ignore her, and I was just going to cover it with love. And the interesting thing happened after I'd been there 6 months. This went on for 6 months, and she never changed. My position ended. I had to go to a full-time job, and so I was leaving this part-time job that I had. And I went up to her to say goodbye. And when I said goodbye to her, she started crying, like full-on crying, tears rolling down her eyes. And she asked me to forgive her that she had been going through something really terrible in her life, and she didn't know how to react to it, so she just shut down around everybody. And I was very surprised, and I almost started crying with her because she was so upset. But when she said that to me, she also said, I know you never did anything to me. And I acted so badly to you. And I told her it was okay and that I didn't know. I had a feeling that something was going on in life, but I didn't know what it was. And she had seemed so private, I didn't want to approach her. And she hugged me, and we said goodbye. But I can say that I had let my light shine before her. For 6 months, I kept loving the seemingly unlovely. But she saw by my behavior and the love of God, and it was noticed by her. And by the way, she was a Christian, and I knew this because she had scriptures all up around her cubicle. So I know I did the right thing, even when my flesh was screaming at me to just lash out at her and be rude to her, as like she was being rude to me. But I was thankful to God that my decision to do the right thing overcame my emotions. Some other ways we can let our light shine is in traffic. We don't often think about that. But do you have a bumper sticker on the back of your car that says, I love Jesus, or something, or a cross hanging in your windshield? Well, people see that. And then when we treat them bad in traffic, it's bringing shame on God's name. So first of all, it's not road rage. That's pretty much a given. But for another example, if you see a car trying to get over, do you let them in? Or do you speed up in front of them so they can't get in front of you? And when you're in the fast lane and a car comes up quickly behind you, obviously they're wanting you to scoot over so they can get by and continue going too fast. Do you move over to a slower lane and let them pass and then move back over again? They're going to appreciate that, and they're going to recognize that you're really a Christian, especially if you have that bumper sticker on. You know, they're going to see that you're a true Christian, and that's going to give glory and praise to God. Don't cut people off in traffic. Use your blinker. Wave at the person that let you in and be thankful. Don't throw your trash out the windows. Treat others the way you would like to be treated. You know, several months ago, I was in the Walmart parking lot, and I was with one of my close Christian friends. We're only going about 5 miles an hour, and I saw a lady coming out, and she made a right-hand turn right in front of me. I stopped, and I let her go by. She never even saw me. She never even looked over. She didn't even know that the situation happened. And my friend reached over while she was doing this and tried to honk the horn at her, and I put my hand up and stopped her. And she told me, she goes, aren't you going to honk at her? I said, why? I see her, and I had plenty of time to stop. And my friend said, well, you're just going to let her get away with it? And I said, would you want someone to honk at you and scare you to death just because you made a mistake? I know I wouldn't. We all know how it feels to have someone overreact when we've made some small mistake on the road. My friend didn't seem to agree, and I would want the same consideration if I was the one who jumped out in front of me. These are just little things we can do to let our light shine. The Bible says that if we are faithful in what is least, then we will be faithful in what is much. When you are at the store and you go and you decide that you can afford an item and you want to go put it back, well, don't go put the bananas back in with the cleanser. Walk it back to the aisle you got it from and put it where it goes. I know that's an inconvenience, and God's had to deal with me many times about putting something back where it goes. I don't want to walk 6 aisles back into the Walmart to go put something back. I know, and it's an inconvenience, but it's worth it. When we do little things, we feel that God's pleased with us and our conscience is clear. Do you ever let someone in front of you who only has 2 items while you have a whole shopping cart full? When we show consideration for others, that's another way we can let our light shine. Are you married? You can be a witness to your spouse also. Do you ever say you're sorry first? Or do you hold out and are stubborn, insisting that they say they're sorry first? I know I used to say, well, he started it. It's his fault. But God really dealt with me on saying sorry to my husband. Every time we got in a fight, God would tell me, go say you're sorry. And I would argue with him. I would flat out refuse. I am not going to go apologize to this man. But God kept prompting me and prompting me. And he didn't leave me alone until I would finally, just out of obedience and out of just, I wanted him to leave me alone. I would go and I would apologize to him. And I would say I was sorry. And I can just remember swallowing my pride to say I was sorry, especially when I didn't think I had done anything wrong. And it was very difficult to say I was sorry to my husband. You know, eventually we got to the point where we both could say sorry. But I can remember a time when I would ask God, why do I always have to apologize first? He never apologizes first. And I didn't think it was fair. And God spoke to my heart and he said, the spiritually mature one is expected to act right first. So I understood that I was expected to be the bigger person in the situation. But what was interesting was eventually, instead of our arguments lasting for days and us being resentful for days and no one speaking to each other for days, we got to the point where, because I would say I was sorry first, my husband became more comfortable with saying he was sorry also. And pretty soon we got used to saying we're sorry. And eventually now, if we get in an argument, we both say sorry very quickly and we go on and we can overcome everything. Now we can apologize quickly, get it over with, and within minutes. I mean, we are down to within 5 minutes, we overcome it, and we are, go on to something else. And it makes our life so much easier. Do we let our light shine in front of our children? You know, when they see our example of how we treat others, it's an impression on their hearts and their minds. Whether we're going to treat them good or bad, how we deal with people, they are watching us, and it's making that impression. But we have to be careful. Are we showing them darkness or are we showing them our light? Children are watching their parents closer than you may even know. And what kind of example are you setting for them? Are we judgmental of others? Do you look at your own faults and shortcomings with rose-colored glasses, making excuses for your bad attitude and behaviors? Making excuses like, oh, well, I said that because I was tired, or I was in a hurry, or I was sick, and just saying, you know, I understand why I did that. But then when we turn around and we look at everybody else through a magnifying glass, bringing to the forefront all of their shortcomings and focusing on all their problems, and then, of course, pointing them out to them whenever we can. Do we do that? Do we give ourselves excuses and say, well, I did it because of this and I did it because of that, but then give no mercy to someone else who may be doing the same thing as we are? We need to be very careful how we treat others. We have to show people mercy, that same mercy we give ourselves and that God is willing to give us. Are you humble? Do you put others' interests in front of your own needs and your own wants? Or are you prone to being selfish and prideful, only thinking of yourself? We can do all of these little simple things to show that we have the light of Jesus on the inside of us. But we can't do anything without following the formula. And what is that formula? Well, we're not capable under our own power to let our light shine unless we are full of light ourselves. We can't give away what we don't have. What do I mean? We can't give away something that we don't possess. And in order to be a successful light bearer, we have to have some knowledge and we have to rely heavily on God. The only way to learn this is to study about Him. About God. We have to review His qualities. We have to pray every day, all throughout the day. We have to rely heavily on Him. We have to wait on God and trust in Him. We always have to ask for His guidance and how we should treat others and to bring it to our attention when what our motives are when we talk to people. Everything good that we know comes from a close personal relationship with God. In order to become a successful light giver, we have to become spiritually mature. And some of the ways that we become spiritually mature is, first of all, prayer. Second of all, reading the Bible, watching a sermon, listening to one on tape, reading a book about God, a good Bible-based program on TV. We can go to church. We can have godly fellowship with others, and we can learn from each other's experiences. I like to, in the mornings, after I've dropped the kids off, I have an hour drive. I like to get in my car, and I like to put the radio onto the Christian station, and I like to go ahead and sing to God. When I am tempted to say something to someone, and I feel that tug of the Holy Spirit, I stop and I ask myself, why do I want to say what I'm about to say? And I pause for a second. And a lot of times, my motives are not good. Like, if, for an example, I feel tempted to tell someone's secret. And I go to open my mouth and the temptation's there and I want to say it so bad. And I hear inside me, why do you want to say that? And I say, because it'll make me feel important, I guess. It'll make me feel knowledgeable, make me feel acceptable. I guess I just straight out and being mean. And it gives me time to reflect and to change my behavior before I say something I shouldn't. In conclusion, we don't want to behave like the world and just put a Christian label on it. That brings dishonor to God's name. We have been set apart, handpicked from God, and to go about dispensing good to others. It's all about how we treat others, how we treat ourselves. It's about our attitudes and our decisions to do the right things, even when it's hard. It's about bringing glory to God's name and not shame. It's all the simple little things that we can do to let our light shine. Remember, the Bible says that if we are faithful in the little things, then we will be faithful in the big things. Let's go out today and make a difference for God. Make it a point for you to look for a way that you can bless someone else. Thank you for allowing me to come into your home this morning. I want to pray with you. Lord, help us to recognize all the ways that we can let our light shine before men. How we can go about dispensing good to others. Teach us your ways. Bring our true motives to our attention. Guide us. Bring ideas to us how we can be a light for your glory and not for our own. Shape us. Mold us into your image and forgive us when we fall short. We love you. We need you. We can't do anything without your help and guidance. Help us to love even the unlovely and give us the strength we need each day to be a light to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, let's give him praise.